Going to bring up Laura because we definitely want to hear her experience. Laura, welcome to the show.
I was at the LA Marathon and you were too, and I actually was in the front of the pack.
Created live on Fireside.
Welcome to Athletic Definition. It's good to be back. I'm your host, Coach Ray Z. And today I'm going to be recapping Los Angeles Marathon 2023. It seems like forever since I've been here on Fireside. So thank you everybody in the audience and watching in the stream worldwide. This is the first interactive Web3 platform. So be sure to join me, follow me here on Fireside so you can catch when the latest shows are. In fact, the last episode I did, it's called The Struggle is Real, has only been up on Fireside, but going to release it today. I've just been so backed up, so thank you, buddy, for kind of sticking around. I just came off completing my 17th consecutive Los Angeles Marathon, and that was my 58th total marathon, and this is the medal that I earned, and there is a little LA Loyal pin here as well that I earned. And really, this show is not about me. It is about just recapping the sights and sounds of Los Angeles Marathon. What can I say? It was supposed to rain. It was supposed to be difficult. And I trained as much as I could. When you check out the past episode, really, I only got to do long runs. I didn't really get to do any speed work, hill work, or anything in between because of a new job. That new job has me walking an extra 50 to 60 miles per week plus, and so I really didn't get anything in between. So to find out all the details of the episode, Los Angeles Marathon, according to Los Angeles Times, I got some of this information, and I did find some inaccuracies, but it started in 1986, and it pretty much would change the course like every couple years. My first one was in 2007, and we actually ran by like the Coliseum back in the day, and then one year we started like by Universal City Walk or Universal Studios, and we ran down Cahuenga into Hollywood. And then back in, I believe, 2010, they changed it to the Stadium to the Sea, which to me is probably the most and best course they've ever had. They had it for 10 years. And then back in 2021, they changed it from the Stadium to the Sea. Supposedly, it has to do with permits. They were being charged too much to basically finish at the pier, and now they changed it to the Stadium to the Stars course back in 2021, which basically you end in a Century City. This year, the ending was a little bit different, not because I don't think they really cared about the complaints from the runners, because they always give you a chance to do a survey. I think it was really more having to do with the construction of the trains and the buses, and that's what I read, the reason for the change. Overall, if you know about LA Marathon and me, for me, it's a love-hate thing. I love Los Angeles. I grew up here. I love the marathon. I love the running community. I love the strangers coming out and showing you support. But I'm not a big fan of the race organizers, and we'll get into that as well. And I see Elizabeth in the audience. Thank you for joining. So it was the 30th annual Los Angeles Marathon last Sunday. Not last Sunday. I'm still kind of thrown off. I'll tell you what I did, but according to the Los Angeles Times, it had 22,000 participants. I don't believe it had 22,000 participants, and I'll tell you why. I checked on the LA Marathon finishers, and overall, it shows that 19,990 runners ran. Now, from there, you can add another 25 more for elite. They separate them. 26 handy cycles, which are the people that it's like a wheelchair, but instead of with your hands, you're pedaling instead of with your feet, you're using your hands. They had 26 of them, 17 wheelchair competitors, and even with that, it's not 22,000. How many of them actually finished? That's a good question. My time was 4 hours, 32 minutes, 30 seconds. I was about 32 minutes and 30 seconds short from my personal goal. I understand you're not going to hit your goal if you can't do everything that you're supposed to do to train for it. In my mind, I wanted to go for it. I tried to go for it. I just didn't have it. No excuses. It is what it is. I have my chance to redeem myself for the OC Marathon coming up on May 7th, which will be my 59th marathon. And if you're interested in that, you can use use Ray Runs 10, a discount on any race distance. LA Marathon, you start at Dodger Stadium. People think, oh, that's easy, but it's kind of hilly. From there, you see the sights and sounds of Chinatown. And right before Chinatown, there were some female mariachis playing. So whoever you were, I want to say thank you. Much appreciated. And then in Chinatown, the people that do the drumming, that when you're climbing up the hill, love that. Every year, I look forward to it. I just kind of go with the rhythm of the drum and climb. You go through Hollywood, Beverly Hills. I didn't see him this year, but they had a guy in a tuxedo playing piano, I think, because you go through Rodeo Drive, so he was there. Century City, Los Angeles City Hall. You go through the Hollywood, the Dolby Theater, the historic Route 66, and like I mentioned, Beverly Hills, Rodeo Drive. The marathon started at 6:30 in the morning, but really that was for the elite runners, because for us normal runners, we really didn't kick off till 7, which kind of threw me off. I was planning to, I thought we would start like at, 6:45 the latest, but we started off at 7. And Los Angeles Times gave a good breakdown of how many participants and age group, and I thought this was pretty interesting. According to what they got from the McCourt Foundation, which is the people that run the Los Angeles Marathon. So the breakdown is they had, according to this, they had 21,000 participants, which is 1,000 less. And it said people in their 30s made up the largest age group. In their 80s, they had 42 runners. So congratulations to everybody. Whether you actually finished or not, the fact that you're in your 80s and still getting after it, my hat's off to you. You're an inspiration to all the younger people and people who, because I remember my first marathon in 2007, it was the last mile was dedicated to a doctor. I can't remember his name, but his whole goal was to inspire people to run. And I think he started running like at age 90 and he kept running till he passed away. So his whole message is it's never too late. In their 70s, they had 210 participants, which I'm like, amazing. When I get to my 70s and 80s, I definitely want to still be active and running and be one of those who's attempting something like that. In the 60s, they had 911 people participate. So once again, my hat's off to everybody, whether you finished or not. The fact that you attempted to do something that very few people in the world will ever accomplish, my hat's off to everybody. In their 50s, 2,441 participants, which I love to see that. Hopefully from those people in their 50s, it'll bump up into the 60s and 70s, and soon they'll just keep growing and keep growing. That's a great way to stay motivated. Even if you only run one marathon a year, it's just a good way to stay active, stay pumped up. I see Laura joining, so thank you for coming here. I know you did the LA Marathon, didn't have a chance to run into you. And in their 40s, they had 4,156 participants. In their 30s, they had 5,779 participants. In their 20s, they had 4,416 participants. And 14 to 19, they had 2,198. I would say that a majority of those were probably Student Run LA. Student Run LA is a great organization. It was started by two teachers who were really passionate about running. And now through LA County, they always have a bunch of different runners, coaches who coach the students all the way preparing for the marathon. I've had a couple of on here like Dio, who has over 500 marathons, Fabiola, who's also a coach, and Carlos. And we're going to bring up Laura because we definitely want to hear her experience. Laura, welcome to the show. And let me know if you want camera or not.
Hey, a little bit. I can only talk for just a bit, but I can't believe it. I was at the LA Marathon and you were too. And I actually was in the front of the pack. I did a Fireside Live. I was with the wheelchair hand cyclist ahead of the pros.
I saw that. I got to watch a little bit of the replay, and I'm like, how did she do that and still get the chip time? Because I thought, you know, everybody would have to be starting. But so you got to start with the wheelchairs.
Yeah, I was with Scott Tolan, who was on a hand cycle. And, you know, I didn't train. I just found out about it. Like, he was doing it 6 weeks before. So then 6 or 8 weeks before I signed up, I hadn't run a mile or 2 miles straight before I showed up.
Yeah, because I know a few people that do that, but my hat's off to you. I saw you finish, so congratulations. And how would you say your recovery is going without training?
At first, it was really hard the first few days. My quads were so sore, I could barely sit and stand up and get back on, you know, like on the airplane and stuff. And then I thought, okay, I'm doing okay. And then this second week, my kind of almost like my bones it wasn't my knees, but it was like so weird, like my ankles and stuff. And I mostly walked, Ray, so it wasn't like a ton of pounding. I mean, it was almost like the end of a Ironman marathon, because I did it in just over 6 hours. So it was more of like a gentle jog and walk. I walked all the hills. I walked all the rest stops. I did the Galloway method the whole way. I mean, I executed an awesome race plan. And I had done a couple 2-3 hour walks before. And then I caught up to Scott 3 times during the race, which was really cool. And we ended up finishing within 5 or 10 minutes of each other. So because that race was not accessible to people with disabilities, they didn't have any porta potties accessible to disabilities. The race was really poorly done, to be honest, for people with disabilities.
Oh, that is interesting. I didn't really think about that perspective as far as porta potties, because I do see the participants in the handy cycles and the wheelchair every year, but never really considered the porta potty. And that's something that I will definitely include in my email survey to them. So based on your time, you got caught at the end tail with the rain. How was that for you? How was that factor?
That was awesome. I love running in a little bit of the rain. So I finished at, let's see, we started an hour early. We started at 6:35. So I finished at like 12:40.
Okay.
Because you guys started at what, about 7:30?
I think it was 7. They said 6:30, but really the regular runners didn't get going till 7.
Okay. Yeah. So it was pretty funny though, because I was running as this like older woman, and Scott like shot out ahead of me because he's on a hand cycle. So during those downhills after the first hill at the Dodger Stadium, it was like a 250 feet downhill. He's way out in front of me. And then the pro women catch me, and I'm this old lady running like I'm part of the pro women. It was so weird, but it was kind of a rush. And then the pro men passed me, and that was really cool. And I did some, I got some great footage, because I felt like it was so awesome. I felt like it was like the red carpet treatment. It was really awesome, I have to say.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Back in the day, they used to have a bigger cash prize. They had I think it was $10,000. I don't even know if the bank exists anymore. It was called Banco Popular. This year, they had $6,000 offered to the winner, and basically they give the women a head start. I think it's only like 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. And then the only one person actually gets that prize money. And then they had a $2,500 prize given to the wheelchair division. So that's nice. And I would definitely like to see more money for runners, as far as like, you know, it's so much work and dedication takes out of your day to be able to train. And if you don't train, the recovery could be difficult, but when you do train, it's so much, so time consuming that the cash prices should be bigger.
Well, tell me, how did you do?
I did a 4 hours, 32 minutes, 30 seconds. I didn't really get to do any. I basically just did long runs the last month and a half. I got a new job, so that affected my training. I don't want to say excuses or anything, but it is what it is. but I have my chance to always come back and do it again and go for a better time. But overall, I'm happy with a finish. Any finish is good. Injury-free. Everybody that I know finished injury-free. So I'm always happy about that, that no one I know really got injured. And this year, I didn't see any down runners either. And of course, the more people showed up. Since the pandemic, it hasn't been the same. Like, the numbers are growing. I would say there was more energy this year than in the last two.
Yeah, it was really fun as the race went by. Like, I had like different experiences because I started out on my own and like the first hour is pretty much by myself. And then, you know, the 3:00 pack would pass me, and then the 3:30, and then the 4, and then the 4:30. And then I was like, okay, there's no way I'm letting the 5:15 or the 5:30s, you know, go past. Like, I've got to stay with these people because that'll be like, I wanted to at least, even though I walked, I wanted to at least finish in 6.5 because that's an official, like, that's, you have to get a, I didn't feel good enough, good getting a medal if I didn't finish in 6:30. So I was pretty happy with that. It was my first official marathon since 2015 Boston when I was sick for so many years. So I just got well 150 days ago. So I was pretty proud of myself, quite frankly, and I can't wait for the next one. I'm trying to see if I can get into Boston because I was at the bombing 10 years ago and it's the 10th anniversary in 2-3 weeks. And so I'm working to see if I can finagle myself in there. And then I'm definitely doing San Francisco in July and Long Beach in October.
Okay. Well, then maybe I'll see you at the Long Beach one. I got to check the dates, but if I don't run it, I like to go and show support. Not too many races I get to show support, but it's always nice to be able to give back to the running community. And congratulations on your finish. And I didn't know that was your first official marathon for that long ago. It's funny because that bombing in a way made it more difficult to get it to qualify for Boston, you know, because more people apply now. And I would love to do it. And I know you can raise money, but I really want to earn it because that's one of the ones that there's only a couple ways to do it, but I want to earn it, even if it takes me, you know, when I'm qualifying, when I'm in my 80s, because I got those extra time, but I really want to earn that one.
Yeah, you and me both. I have done it as a guide to challenged athletes. I also have qualified myself. I think I ran a 3:30 something, 3:40. That was my best marathon ever. Breaking 4 hours was kind of typical for me. That wasn't too hard. Now I think that I can, now that I'm older, I'm about to be 59, so it'll be a little easier for me, but I'd love to qualify next year. So yeah, let's do it. I'm going to go back.
Oh, well, thank you for joining, Laura, and everyone listening. That's some inspiration right there. 59 years old, didn't really train too much and got it done. I really think so many people kind of underestimate what they can do. And I'm definitely not recommending don't train. It's much more easier if you train, and I think you'll have a good time overall. I saw so many run clubs out there, so I want to definitely shout them out. I got to run with as many as I could training. There was the Claremont Trotters. They usually run on Wednesdays. Then we have the Pomona Valley Runners. They run for free on Tuesdays. The La Puente Bridge Runners, they run for free on Thursdays. And then the Azusa Pacers, I ran with them probably all my long runs with them on Saturday morning. They also do Wednesdays. And I remember, I'm from Azusa, and I remember when I first started, I would look up how many people from my city actually completed it. And very few, maybe like three people out of 25,000, 20,000 plus, very few. And now I don't know why I checked and I saw 51 finishers from the city of Azusa. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I would like to say, hey, that I inspired a bunch of people from here, but really I know it's the Azusa Pacers. They have such a good organization, from preconditioners to 5K to 10K, it's all free. So if you want to do a marathon, it's a great organization, and I'm sure that they're responsible because of how easy they make it, why so many people from the city of Azusa actually finish. So I love to see people just work out, whatever it is, do it. I see Layla joined as well, so thank you for joining. So overall, by the time I finished, it was kind of starting to rain a little bit. And when the beer garden, it was cold. It was cold and there were still people coming in and it kept raining harder and harder. As I mentioned, I started a new job. So right after LA Marathon, I had to hop on a plane to Chicago, which was a bad idea. It's the second time I've hopped on a plane. In 2011, I hopped on a plane to Miami, but at least that was the next day after the marathon. Hopping on a plane when you really want to stretch out, it was not easy. And then the time, you know, maybe like 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago now, they changed the time in the United States. So time change and then jet lag and then another 2 hour difference time change. So I was a zombie. I took my workout clothes, my running clothes to Chicago thinking I'm going to work out. But really between LA Marathon, all the preparation, all the hard work and working, trying to do a new job, I did not have the energy. And of course, I wanted to explore the city. It's my second time going to Chicago. So I went out like the first three nights. I definitely wouldn't recommend anybody, if you have the option, fly back the next day because you want to be able to stretch. Your feet are swollen. So many things can happen. So if you get a chance, don't fly the same day. Try to fly the next day because that was tough. And then I came back and I wanted to do a show. The Azusa Pacers had a great celebration for all the runners. They had a breakfast with a spread of everything from fruit to a bunch of Mexican food. And then they surprised everybody with mariachis that came out. It was a really nice celebration and it really caught me off guard. And like I said, any marathon that you accomplish, and here's the medal for everybody just joining, it's great. But and I'm going to do a whole show about this. I realized that I'm just like an adrenaline junkie and I love dopamine. LA Marathon posted like 4 days after about how people get a little depressed and it's because, you know, you work so hard for something and you make it so big in your mind. And then after that, it's a big letdown. So I kind of knew that and mentally prepared not to make it so big. Plus it was my 50th marathon. I actually got a bigger fulfillment because I was in Chicago and my son texted me and he said, my friends want to know when you're going to start playing basketball with us again. He's like, we know you're about 75%, but they want to know. So to me, the fact that a bunch of young kids want me to play and the fact that they actually think I'm 75%, to me, that was a bigger dopamine hit than crossing the finish line. I don't take any LA Marathon for granted or any marathon period. What I've learned, and I'll get more into in another episode, I learned more, you have to enjoy the process. It's not so much the finish line, it's the process. Kobe Bryant says it, all those early mornings you wake up, you train, that's what it's about. And it's so easy just to get caught up in the glory. I know when I started running, all I cared was about the finish line. I didn't really care about the training. But now I enjoy the training. That's the camaraderie. If you can really learn to enjoy the road there, then your crash won't be as hard and you can really kind of enjoy it. You know, I'm not saying you can kind of choose when you want to have that dopamine hit and how much you want it to affect you. So I'll definitely get into that. Everything I'm saying, you know, it's based on my experience. I am not a doctor, but I do listen to a lot of, I always forget his last name. His name is Andrew. Man, I'm going to look him up because he does such a great podcast. He's a professor at Stanford and he does so many good podcasts that I watch all the time. And he's always talking about, you know, coffee, the effects of coffee, sleep, everything. And thank you everybody for joining. We are talking about Los Angeles Marathon recap. That was my 50th marathon, 17th consecutive. I never thought I would actually do so many marathons. When I did it, it was just a one and done kind of thing. I just wanted to really do it. It was like a childhood dream. And at the time, I was going through a divorce. So I was depressed and I really wasn't quite sure if I could do it. So I wanted to do something that was challenging for myself. And now 17 years later, I'm still running And it's changed my life. When I didn't really have too much money, that's running was the thing that I could afford to do. I just put on my shoes and go out the door. His name's Andrew Huberman, and he's a professor at Stanford. I watch a lot and listen to a lot of his podcasts. And it seems like they always pop up when I'm researching a certain topic. And he's the one who kind of enlightened me, or it really clicked the way he explained it about dopamine and the effects. And as I mentioned, LA Marathon did post about it. They even talk about getting professional help, but they never really once discuss actually learning about dopamine. And I think that's what people need to do, because some people, you shouldn't, in my opinion, you shouldn't get depressed after accomplishing a big goal. It should be something that if you're kind of aware of, not just physical, but mentally and emotionally, and you learn more about your body and what it does, I don't feel that you should have to go see some professional help after completing a marathon. And, you know, like I said, that's my opinion. They also happened to pick my picture and blur me out a little bit for the goo. I'm trying to see if I could find it, but they used my picture. Oh, and I mentioned a bunch of running crews, but I wouldn't have been able to complete this marathon if it wasn't for Team Stride for Stride. You can go back and check out that past episode with Tom from Stride for Stride. It's a great organization that helps I'm going to pull them up to better describe them. But basically, for people who, like immigrants or people who can't afford it or people who are down on their luck, they're a nonprofit running organization that buys race bibs for immigrants, BIPOC, and low-income runners, and so that everybody could have the thrill of the finish line. You know, since the pandemic, went on some hard times, and they were happy enough to sponsor my last two LA marathons, so I would have not even had the opportunity to keep my streak going. The LA marathon's about a couple hundred dollars, so definitely helped out, and I just want to give a big shout-out to Team Stride for Stride. They're located in Boston, Massachusetts. And I actually got to run and see one of the runners, and we took a picture, never met, but it was awesome. And I really appreciate what they've done. And as I get more and more back on my feet, I definitely want to give back to that great organization because I see what they do. And I know what, you know, running has meant to me. And I know how, when maybe you don't have anything else going on, how having something to look forward to train, to get ready, can definitely help change your perspective and just keep you motivated. And let's see if I could find the little picture that they used of me here. Let's see. Like I mentioned, they blurred me out. But here we go. So there's a product called Goo. So when you're running, you're going to burn through a lot of calories. And if you eat food, it's got to be broken down and then it turns into energy. So you can buy this thing called Goo, and it's really broken down. It's like, it's really goo. It's like baby food. So it hits you quicker so you can have that energy. And there I am right there. They're advertising the Goo, but that's me in the background with the Team Stride for Stride logo representing them. So that was pretty cool, seeing that on there. And so many little people, I think 1% of the world population will ever run a marathon. If there's a marathon you want to do and there's anything I can do to help you out, program or anything, more than happy to help you out. Try it. Even if you fail, you have done more than a lot of people will even attempt. I know some people think that's crazy. Part of running with the Azusa Paces was great because I have a lot of knowledge from 58 marathons, and it was great being able to share with people who want the information, who want to learn. That's one thing I've noticed I'm going to do a show about. A lot of people are more committed to why they can't, or more committed to their injuries than even wanting to attempt it. So David Goggins says, I'm a cheerleader for those who want to change. And I wanted to be a cheerleader for everybody, but it's not possible. Some people are just, you know, they're like, oh, my knee hurts. I'm probably going to have to get a knee replacement. I'm like, oh, you don't understand. I train with it. Oh, no, it's not. It's not. Okay. So it's like, I can't twist your arm. If you're more committed to your injury, if you're more committed to why you can't do it, I'm going to leave it as that. And I wish you best of luck. But there's a lot of people out there who want to like not get hurt. I talked to one guy, for example, and he's like, you know, I've been doing cryo. And I told him, cryo's great. Basically what it's doing, it's tricking your body that you're going to die and then you don't. But in that meantime, it releases all this good stuff. And I told him, but really, that's not helping your knee. It's not really fixing it. It's like a temporary thing. He's like, oh, well, I want to learn how to fix it. People who are committed to bettering themselves, that's what I'm talking about. If you're more committed to your injury, right away you're going to be no before you even know, then you got some issues, and I wish you best of luck. But time is limited here on earth, and I can only try to help the people who actually want to, you know, do something different. So great experience. Team Stride for Stride, thank you once again. Zuza Pacers for all everything. Claremont Trotters, Sandima Runners, La Puente Bridge Runners, and Pomona Valley Runners. I'm hoping to bring them all on here little by little so you guys could get to know them, know the running community. When maybe like 10 years ago, it was a huge running scene in LA, downtown LA, but nothing in San Gabriel Valley where I live. All these groups that I mentioned, they're part of San Gabriel Valley. And it just shows how running has grown. And when you have community like that, it's so much easier when you commit to, you know, going with your friends, and it becomes less of, oh, I have to go work out. It's more like, oh, no, I get to go see my friends and we get to talk. Having those type of conversations, some of the conversations you have after a workout or during a workout are some of the most raw and real conversations you could have. I miss that like so much in jiu-jitsu. After you try and choke each other and break each other's arms, then you have such raw, good conversation. So looking forward to get back to jiu-jitsu as well. And as I mentioned, if you get a chance, do not hop on a plane right after a marathon. Don't do it. I had to do it because of work, and it was pretty brutal. I wanted to do a show last week, but I was just wiped out. So I ended up taking a nap in the day, which I don't even do that anymore. And tomorrow, I got a marathon coming up in May 7th, as I mentioned. But I'm going to go play basketball with my son and his friends. It's been months. I put in so much work preparing for Los Angeles Marathon that I haven't had a chance to go and play with them. And for me, it's great cross-training. I always talk about if you're always just runners, we're just running this way, same direction. You need some lateral movement. Or I always talk about walking backwards. You're working the opposite muscles. And it's great if you have some knee pain. It's the most basic workout you can do because you're putting your knees over your toes. And then if you're strong enough, then you can start doing the sled. If you have a treadmill and it's broken, you can walk on it backwards. And the other thing you can do is careful with this one, but you can also push a car going backwards, put it on neutral, and that's really great knee exercise. It warms up your whole knees and gets the blood going. And you can check out some past episodes. I have done it. I'm going to start doing more on the actual exercises you can do. And a lot of that I learned from Ben Patrick, Knees Over Toes. You can pretty much everything I'm telling you, he shows you for free. And I show it for free as well. Because to me, we're in the information age. So really, there's no excuse. If you want to learn something, you can learn it. If you want to better yourself, you can better yourself. There's so much free information out there. A lot of people are still trying to rip you off. So be careful for that. A lot of fake fitness influencers. I try to keep it positive here, so I don't really like to call them out too much, but just depending on my mood, maybe sometimes I will, sometimes I won't. But I really miss the whole fireside and being on here. It's been quite some time. I'm so used to doing the show every Friday, once a week, so I actually miss the whole audience, and it's great for me to vent as well. Sometimes I talk about work and the people there. I don't mention them by names, but it's great to to be able to vent a little bit. And so the next episode I'm going to do, because in California, we've gotten all this rain and we're not really used to that here. So we got a lot of rain, and I kept seeing people post this and they kept saying, I don't want to go run in the rain and get sick before LA Marathon, or I don't want to run in the rain and get sick. So as far as I know, and we're going to get, I'll do a deep dive into it. Everything that I looked into, does water make you sick? Or is it a virus that makes you sick? Does rain make you sick? Does really going out and training in the rain make you sick? So I'll give you what I've learned, and then I'll give you on some reasons why I agree with that, and then also disagree, because there's examples for everything. And this is kind of based on all my interests. So we'll be talking about, that'll be the next episode, probably tomorrow. So be sure to follow me on Fireside so you can be alerted. Don't know what time it'll be, because I'm going to do some training in the morning. And since I haven't been in LA really for like a couple weeks, I got a lot of laundry, the dark side of working out. So definitely we'll do the show. And as I mentioned, it'll be, does rain make you sick? And then after that, there'll probably be a show on Sunday, because I want to make up for the lost times. And I have a goal of hitting, so I need to do in my, for me personally, I want to do 100 episodes this year. So because I missed a week, I need to catch up. But I don't want to, you know, do bad quality just because I'm trying to do shows. So trust me, every show I do, I look into it. It's something that I'm already kind of talking about. And sometimes I'm like, oh, that whole rain one, I wanted to do it. But then as I kept looking into it, I'm like, that's interesting. I gotta research more before I speak on it. But I learned a lot. I watched so many reports. I read so many articles. So be sure to follow me on that. And I hope you can already register for LA Marathon 2024 if you've never been to LA. It's a great way to sightsee the sights and sounds of everything. I do got to mention that there's one guy that I know who, I don't know what they did in the volunteers, but they basically, they switched his bib and then his time didn't get recorded. So I hope the race organizers are aware of that and maybe try to do something to avoid that. Because can you imagine like training like 6 months, there's pictures of you running the course, but then there's no official time. And I know he's encouraged. He still wants to keep running, but I told him I would mention his story. And, you know, I personally know some people who finished and they just were in the end, the back of the pack. And because they were at the back of the pack, they actually ran out of medals a couple times, and they mailed them the medals a couple times. But these are things, in my opinion, that, you know, the race directors are always putting pressure on you. Oh, you need to sign up now before the price goes up, or you need to do this so you can get your loyal status. Well, if you know so early how many runners you're going to have, you should have enough t-shirts. You should have enough medals. And it's not just LA Marathon. I've been trying for New York Marathon for I don't know how many years. I know I have a lot of New York listeners. Never got in. But on their disclaimer, it says it's $295 if they select you. They'll charge you that day plus tax. So you're paying $300 for a New York City Marathon, which I heard is one of the best marathons out there. But it tells you, we don't guarantee you will have a t-shirt your size. I'm like, for $300, why can't you guarantee that I'm going to have a t-shirt? I think for $300, you should guarantee my t-shirt. And if you don't have it, you should mail it to me. I'm like, you know, this is this year's LA Marathon shirt. I still haven't received a t-shirt from LA Marathon for, I can't even remember how many years ago. I wrote to him. I have an email, which maybe I'll edit it in here, saying, oh yeah, we're going to mail it to you. Till this day, still no t-shirt. And that's why I'm saying it's a love-hate between LA Marathon. I love LA Marathon. I love the runners. I love the running community. I love the people who go, strangers who go out there and give you soda or beer or licorice or peeled oranges for you to, you know, have some energy. And you know, this is all out of the kindness of their heart. What I've noticed, and the running community, please chime in, leave some comments, let me know. What I've noticed is all the race directors want everybody to volunteer. And that's what the running community is about, volunteering, giving back. But I also think that maybe you guys should pay some of the volunteers. I see a lot of like teenagers, high school kids volunteering. And then, you know, in every community, you have the good and the bad. But I've seen some adults act like little kids. Oh, I ordered a medium, but it doesn't fit. I want a large. And they complain and complain and complain and start bitching and crying until the high school kid gives in and says, here, switch it. When really they're supposed to wait till the very end. Everybody gets their size. And then if other people's shirts don't fit, then you get to switch it. But what happens is, you know, these kids are volunteering. You have adults acting like little divas. And so I've personally seen them give the shirt before they're supposed to. And I don't blame them. You know, they're volunteering. They're trying to do their best. And then they have some adults acting like little divas. So I think that maybe if they paid a couple of kids, it'd be great. You know, they can earn some money. And then at the same time, maybe they'll be a little bit more stern with some of these divas that, and I'm embarrassed for them because I'm part of the running community. And I remember I didn't get my stuff at one particular race and I saw how other people were acting. I'm like, I don't want to be like that. Be mature. I wrote the race directors. They were nice enough to mail me everything after. No big deal. So if you're one of those divas, shame on you. And especially for putting pressure like that on young kids. You guys let me know. Do you think that race directors maybe should pay some of the volunteers, maybe in certain sections? Or do you think that, no, everyone should just, you know, if you times, I think, well, let's say it's about $200 for LA Marathon, depending on when you sign up. Maybe it could be, you know, a little bit less. So $200. And from $200, you have this year, we'll say they had 21,000 runners. So you could do the math right there. Let's see here. 200. Oops, I think I did that wrong already. Not used to using my iPad for that, but let's see, 200 times, we'll do 21,000. $4,200,000. And yes, I know they pay ambulances and they pay permits to the city. But even if you take that away, you're making profit. So I think you could take a little bit of money and pay some of the students and volunteers. That's my opinion. Let's do New York Marathon at 295 times. I hear they have like 40,000 runners. So let's see. Ooh, that is like $11,800,000 that they're making. And if you're making that much money, you're telling me you can't have my t-shirt? Race directors, I hope you guys kind of change your way about that. And also LA Marathon, I hope you change your course back to Stadium to the Sea or something better. I'll be bringing on my friend Giancarlo, who he's on the heavier side and he had knee surgery and he's actually running St. Louis Marathon this weekend. He did that course with me since 2010 and he just hates it. And I know a bunch of runners who hate the ending now. And a lot of runners won't run it now until they actually change the course again. So you guys are losing a lot of your loyal runners that do it year after year because no one likes the ending now. The first year you put the beer garden where we had to climb stairs after an ending. And then just some of the race organizers, I think that you guys should actually have to run a marathon if you're going to be doing some of the planning. So you could know what it feels like to have to walk like another 2 miles to go get your shoes and then walk another 2 miles to go to the beer garden and all this other stuff. These are things where if you treat the running community well, they're going to keep coming back to you because, well, we love running and I love running and fitness, and I hope everybody enjoyed this Los Angeles Marathon 2023 recap. Overall, it's a great marathon. I would still recommend it. I've done quite a few. I'm still missing Boston. I'm still missing Chicago, New York. Those are some of the bigger ones. I think Chicago gets like 40,000 plus now. New York does too. And I've never been to New York. I want to wait till I qualify. Well, it's a lottery, so I want to wait till they actually select me, and then I'm, you know, when I look at on my podcast how many people from New York listen, hopefully, and actually I do know a couple running clubs out there, so looking forward to bringing them on and finally getting out there and running. But this year, once again, I didn't get selected. Maybe next year, and then I could actually share with you the recap of New York Marathon. So till tomorrow, thank you, buddy, in the audience. I see Sonia and Elizabeth and Alice and geez. By the way, guys, in case you didn't know, I need glasses now. So they're way over there. I think it's Layla. Yeah. And everybody else, Laura, who came up, shared her experience. Everybody on Fireside. I miss my Fireside family. It's great to be back. I will see everybody tomorrow. Thank you for taking your time to spend with me here on Friday or when you watch the replay on YouTube or if you're watching it on Twitch, everywhere else. I appreciate you. Till next time, Athletic Definition, Coach Ray Z, and I'm out.